I did not compile a list. I took what was
Oh.
already available, and then I would go to the net and try to authenticate what they had done.
I want people to understand one by one, you researched close to 500 people. Just talking through it, if people cannot begin to grasp the number of hours and days and months and years spent on this project, then they're
No.
not listening. We are excited this morning to be with you, Margaret and Carl. I have an interesting journey in being able to meet you. I met you before I even realized why I was meeting you. And it was, I believe, at Colonel Cook's memorial in Detroit.
Oh.
I didn't realize why it was so significant that you folks were there. So I am excited for other people to be able to understand why you are so critical to the things that we know about the Mormon Battalion and the things that you've done for those men and women and the opportunity they've given their ancestors to be recognized. So that's why I'm excited to visit with you today.
Thank you.
And that meeting in Detroit was Veterans Day of 2005, when I just barely getting involved with our scouts and that kind of stuff.
Yep. So it was a
Oh.
long time ago, and here it is, 2023, and we're finally getting to visit with you and learn about the things that you've been working on. So I'm going to let you introduce yourselves. Carl, why don't you just tell us a bit about yourself, how long you've been interested in the battalion story?
I don't even remember how far back that goes and when we got started with it, but I remember the people that got me interested in the battalion. They were the laundry people in the hospital in Logan.
No way.
And they had to, well, in northern Utah, there was a Mormon battalion organization. And what we do is we would meet, we would eat. It was a supper club.
Okay.
We'd belch and go home. And we had a fun time working together, and we'd march in parades. And we just had a jolly good time with.
And we had summertime outings with families.
And we'd go places.
Yeah, we do
Oh,
this. Yeah,
We'd go
great.
places. That, basically, we'd go places that had the Mormon Battalion interest in northern Utah
Or Southern Idaho.
or southern
Yeah.
Idaho. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting place to bump into the Mormon Battalion, the laundry.
Yes.
All right, and Margaret, did you come along because of Carl's interest initially, or?
Yes, when I was first married, somebody told me, or I heard someplace, that to enhance the marriage or to strengthen the marriage, that the wife needs to kind of support the husband what they're interested in. And so I decided I had my specific interest that I was involved in, but I needed to support Carl with what he was interested in doing. So I did, and I enjoyed the company that we had. We first were involved with the SUP group up in Logan area. And then that moved from there to the battalion. And it was just the camaraderie that we had with that group and
The battalion group.
the battalion group, yeah. The families that were involved, there were several that had children about the same age as our kids. We just had a good time together, whether it was having the supper once a month or whether it was out exploring some of the battalion sites around northern Utah and southern Idaho.
Let me just give a little introduction here. One of the reasons, and you probably have been able to key on that we're talking with Margaret and Carl today is because of their interest and their work and research of trying to pinpoint and verify the real accurate roster of the Mormon Battalion, who was in the Mormon Battalion, who actually went, and to dispel and to correct some of these inaccuracies that they perceived as they got involved with the groups for the Mormon Battalion Association. Why don't you just share one thing before we get into your story that touches you about the Mormon Battalion story?
That touches me about the battalion story. I never thought about that. Mostly it's just because of what they did and how they did it and what was involved. They did have hardships, but I'm not sure that their hardships were any different from anybody else that was on the Westward Trail at that time of the period of our history. Because everybody had a hard time. I mean, you look at the handcart pioneers, or even the wagon pioneers, wagon trains. No, it was not an easy job. And when they settled in Utah area, it was still hard. Everybody had a hard time. The separation from families was probably the most difficult. But I'm not sure that there was one particular thing that really stood out to me, except that I'm sure I couldn't have done what they did because I'm too soft.
Well, that's not our task today to do what they did.
That's true.
What about you, Carl? Have you had a minute to think what has touched you about this story?
What touched me? Well, I was not privy to a lot of the records that exist that have Mormon Battalion on their pages. By that I mean it bothered me very much when they first got involved in the battalion that the men that had historian behind their name didn't know how to be historians. One time we had a meeting in Salt Lake, which we did then every month, and several of these men had been busy forming the roster of the battalion. And all they were doing was, oh, here's another name of a man that marched in the battalion. It was the same name of somebody else that actually had gone, and it did wrong. And we ended up with a roster that was useless. Here we have somebody that was supposed to have been involved in accuracy, and they weren't being accurate. So I just started with A. We were living in Logan at the time, and I went down to this family history library in Salt Lake and went through all of the family group records that they had there. And that was about 3 or 4 feet tall of records, family group records. I went through every one of them. It took me several months to do that because I figured that's about the one place I'm going to go to find records. Well, I found out it really wasn't. But I was able to, in the course of events, run into a lot of the records that were important. And I'd have to go through all of those, and I'd go through family group records and pull out the ones I wanted and photocopy them and put them back. And it was just difficult because of the tools that I had.
And so your goal?
Correct and clean up the roster. Find real people that actually did it, not just a list of names on a piece of paper, because there were so many mistakes on it, on that piece of paper. This came up to me very, very clearly when we were at Foster's Hole. I'm not going to go into Foster's Hole any more than that. But Foster's Hole was it was not a water source, but it was a spot on the trail, trail marker. It's a beautiful little place, a little tiny short valley with water in it. And I had several journals of the battalion that indicated we stopped at Foster's Hole. That's about all I would mention, because they just didn't have the time to be windy with their records that they kept. And I looked at those records and I read them and I read them again and again and again. No two of them matched. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't match, but they're important because they're giving us Matthew's point of view, Luke's point of view, Mark, John. I saw it this way. This is what I was reading. And another man would write about the Foster's Hole and he would describe it differently. I saw it this way. And I realized, well, history isn't linear. It's multilinear. What you see is as valid as what anybody else can see. And what you can see is what is valid as what anyone else can see, because it's your experience. Yeah. And when I realized, well, that's why Foster's Hole has got how many different descriptions of it? As many as there are records of it in the Foster's Hole. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John don't get upset because they don't match. They shouldn't. If they did, they'd be forgeries. But I was very, very impressed with that little idea, because here it was hitting me full in the face like it should have done.
So that's something you learned from your research.
I will never see it the way you see it. And we're standing shoulder to shoulder looking at it. I will never see it the way you do, because your experience is different from mine and you interpret it differently than I ever could.
And even just the vocabulary.
Oh, yes.
How you choose to express it.
Yeah, even just simple little words that I use that even Margaret doesn't use vocabulary like I do. We can. And I will never understand what you see because I can't see it through your eyes.
If you go to some of the personal recollections, not not contemporary journals, not the journals that were kept on the trail, but if you go to the personal recollections later in life, you can almost tell who's writing just by reading them.
Oh, sure.
You can tell who is writing after Cook publishes his book and who's writing after Dan Tyler publishes his book in 1881, because they're copying from Tyler and Cook.
Uh-huh.
And
if I understand correctly, Carl, you had two projects.
No, just one.
Just one, just but one led into another.
Yes, but it led into the battalion organization doing the memorializations.
Did you find the graves, though, for them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We found a lot of graves. So, a lot of graves.
First of all, I want to talk about your roster project. You explained that you realized that there were some errors and you were trying to fix them. And you also referred to the fact that you thought that the church history library was the only place you could go for records. How did you actually find what you needed? Where did you have to go?
I had to go to the family history library in Salt Lake.
Okay.
And that's when it was south cross from North Temple. And I would go into the library and spend all morning looking at family group sheets, finding, oh, here's a man's name that's on the town and roster. Oh, it says, this man has this history. He was born in this place, and so on and so on. And I got all of his record, and I put it in a little bag and zip it shut and then go to the next man and look him up and see just what I could find about this other man. And sometimes I'd find 10 people by the same surname and same given name. What do? The best you can. You don't worry about it.
So what records would you have wanted to get to if you had been able to?
National Archives. But I just didn't have the ability to go every week or every other week to Washington, D.C. and look up those records in the National Archives. It was just too expensive for me.
And even if you had, you wouldn't have gotten access to them.
That's probably true.
That's probably right.
Because they were in such bad shape. That the National Archives put an embargo on them, and you could not get to the originals. All you could get to were the cards, the Combined Military Service Records, CMSR cards,
yes,
which were formed in the late 1800s to try to preserve the original record. Even senators, as early as the early 1900s, said, well, we want to get access to the original records, the actual muster rolls, the actual payrolls. And National Archives turned them down and said, nope, can't get to them. You have to use the CMSR cards.
Well, in other words, I turned out all good. It didn't matter that I couldn't get to them anyway.
Not at that time.
Not at that time. Well, I don't worry about that because I was able to get into some records and use what they had. We went to supper one night with Company C, and someone had a photograph of Daniel Tyler that they passed around. And it came to me and it stopped in front of me and I had it in my hands and I looked down at his eyes and they looked back and they said, did the best I could, Carl. I said, Daniel, don't anybody badmouth you or they're going to answer to me. You did the best you could, because he really did. With what he had available, he made mistakes with his roster, but he didn't fret about it. I did the best I could. And I looked him in the eye and I on that photograph and I said, yes, you did. Don't anybody badmouth you in my presence.
You started your research, though, with the list of names that you got from San Diego visitors.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what bothered me the most. San Diego had some historians assigned to them as missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And every time they turn around, they'd find another, oh, here's another man that was in the battalion. Here's another man. And they never bothered to authenticate one of those people. They just were a collective agency to see how big the list was that they could make with all the people that could have been in the Mormon battalion. I've seen one copy of Tyler's book, original.
So you started with the San Diego records, then you started to look up those names to verify those?
My intent was to let's find real people that could have been in the battalion with our church records, family group sheets. And I was able to get through most of them. And when I got to the very last family group sheet, I can still see this very, very vividly in my mind. And it was a Tuesday afternoon. And I got all the data I needed, shut my books, put them away in my briefcase, started my way home, and I was crossing on 2nd North in Salt Lake, just east of the church office buildings. And a group of scruffy men walked past and said, "Thanks, Carl."
It's an interesting feeling as you wind up a project.
Well, it was interesting to me to meet those people and realize they had been aware of what I was up to the whole time. And it reminds me of one man named Ivy. Turns out that Ivy was a misspelling of his name. And we found a man named Ivy with the first name that this man had in the Ogden Cemetery. And I went to the sexton and I said, "I'm looking for this gravesite." And the sexton said, "Well, it's over there." He told me where to go, and we walked over and looked at it, and we found the grave immediately. And I looked down at that grave, and I could just understand, and I was aware that the man knew we were there. But all I did was just say, "Sorry, Carl, I'm not your man." That he didn't have anything more to say, because he knew I would find out what he was talking about. This person that we located had been busy traveling back and forth from England to the United States during the time the battalion was marching into California. And there was no way that he could have done anything except in a far, far, far zero away removed observer, even if it was that much. But he said, "Sorry, I'm not your man." And he let me go figure it out and who was, and we did.
Okay, so this is another thing that I want to bring up that I don't think I had in my notes, but your research was more than just compiling a list.
I did not compile a list. I took what was already available, and then I would go to the net and try to authenticate what they had done, if I could.
And how did we get the annals of the Marne Battalion?
The journals?
Yes. Did you do that?
I did that.
Okay, Kevin, I'd like everyone to know how vital what Carl did was to your research in being able to pinpoint information about the trail.
Okay, so this is, 2005, when I'm reading Carl's collection of Mormon Battalion journals, extracts, really.
Yeah, extracts, yes.
Not the whole journals in all cases, but key extracts on a day-by-day thing. And and Google Earth has just come out, and I'm sitting at my desk one night realizing, I can actually see Santa Fe Trail ruts out in Oklahoma. Oh my gosh, that's where the Mormon Battalion hiked, because I remember this journal entry that I got from Carl Larson. And I put a pin on the Google Earth image, and I follow the trail until it peters out, and then I put another marker and connect those with a line. And after you do 10 or 20 of those, you realize, oh gosh, maybe we can recover the whole trail. Oh my gosh. Someone has got to go out there and hike the trail and figure this out. So thank you, Carl. But no, that collection, and then as more things became available online, it expanded what I could do. And
oh, good.
And we could add more and more. And then tying back into the lack of records from the National Archives.
That was the big problem I had.
Yeah.
I didn't have access to anything in the National Archives because of distance and time.
And yet.
And money. I didn't have those three.
And yet.
Yeah.
You were darn close.
Yeah.
You were darn close.
Yeah.
Well, when I counted, finally got finished, what I considered a finish, and I counted the roster that I had, I was one off.
Yep.
I was one off.
Yep.
One name.
Yep.
So see,
and I thought, I'm not going to worry about that.
No.
So see, this is why it's so important to get Carl's story, because his work laid the foundation for everything that's happening right now.
Yes.
And yep. Has happened in the Mormon Battalion research.
Yep.
Yes.
So, and he was.
And you can't understand how tickled I am that that's going on. That they're doing what they're doing. It just is so easy to know that somebody with authority and brains is working it.
So thrilled to see how thorough you had been. You were smack on.
Well, I counted how many men were in the battalion on the roster when I got finished. But I considered the last name. And that was one different.
And Carl, what was your total number?
I don't remember anymore.
That's cruel, Denise.
It was just right at 500, so 500-ish.
The reason I'm asking for the number is I want people to understand, one by one, you researched close to 500 people because you had to weed out the ones that were not.
Well, when I got to the M's in the alphabet, and I was going through the family group records in Salt Lake in the library, there were 10 men, 10 or 12 men, whose name started with M. It was almost the same name. Mm. And if you're not careful, they would have gone by the by.
Yeah. So anyway, your list becomes critical to us, to the association and the people who were involved in doing that research, mm-hmm. clarifying that. The collection of the journals extracts became important for me in terms of trying to lay out on a day-by-day basis where they're at and what they're doing, because you know, they're overestimating their distance.
Okay.
If you actually combine their distances, they've gone 2,600 miles, and it'd be somewhere out in the Pacific Ocean. But because you had done the collection of the journal extracts, then I could correlate those, and the fact that you had done them
a tool what was valuable.
The fact they were on a day by day basis, even though sometimes they're referring to things 2 days behind or things a week in the future.
Please continue listening to the second segment of our interview with Carl to hear about how he identified burial sites of battalion members and created a database that is being used today.